Okay, so first, again, let's start with prayer. No better place to start than that. And then we'll get into the study. Father, again, we thank you for this time. And though we're few, Lord, you have a message for each one of us who's here today, Lord. And we pray that you would just speak into our hearts, Lord, into our lives. Anoint your word to go forth, Lord, and just have your way, Lord. Minister what needs to be ministered, Lord, and change us, make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I pray through this stuff and get ready, you know, I'm always like, okay, Lord, where do I go? I have my plan. The Lord has his plans, of course, and he manages to change everything last minute, so, but it's better that way because then I know it's him and it's not me, so, but I want to start with the days of praise from yesterday, actually, because it really spoke to me, because I have been very tired lately and getting very weary, very at the end of myself, but again, there's no better place to be than the end of yourself, because then the Lord comes in and takes over. But the title of yesterday's Days of Praise was, Who Gets Weary? And the verse that starts out says, Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And that's Isaiah 40:28. So one thing we can trust in and count on is that God never gets weary. He never slumbers, he never sleeps, and he's always watching us and has the best in store for us. But then again, it questions in the title, Who Gets Weary? And it goes on to say, Everyone gets weary, and everyone must rest. Even in Eden, before sin came into the world, there was a weekly day of rest, and each day of work in the garden was followed by a night of sleep. Or by a night of rest and sleep, the Lord Jesus, in the days of his sinless human flesh, occasionally became wearied in his journey, that's John 4:6, and had to rest. On one occasion, he was so weary that during a violent storm on the Sea of Galilee, he was asleep on a pillow, Mark 4:38, while the disciples tried to keep their ship from destruction. He once advised these fretful and busy disciples to come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, Mark 6:31. So sometimes we need to come apart before we fall apart. And I know myself, I have many times, especially lately, where I feel myself falling apart. So I'm not doing something correct, because Jesus expects us to rest, and he knows we get weary, but not to fall apart. There's a difference. So, we're going to talk about that difference a little bit today. In New Jerusalem, with our new bodies, we perhaps will not need rest or sleep, for in Revelation 22:5 it says, There shall be no night there. In our present frail tents of clay, however, we do need rest, for God made us so. In one area of life, on the other hand, we are twice admonished not to be weary in well-doing. And there's where the difference is. It's okay to need rest. It's okay to need sleep, because Jesus, it does tell us in a few places that Jesus is the one who gives us sleep. So, but here in Galatians 6:9 and 2 Thessalonians 3:13, it says not to be weary in well-doing. And when we do get weary and perhaps are not able to stop and rest, we can draw on God's strength. For he fainteth not, neither is weary. And again, that was in Isaiah 40:28. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep, and that's Psalm 121:4. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint, and that's Isaiah 40:30 and 31. So there's a neat contrast there between our physical bodies getting weary and needing rest, but in the spirit, we're not to get weary in well doing. So the Lord just really ministered to me through this, and wanted, I believe, us today to look at Galatians 6:9 and kind of tear it apart. We're thankful that the Lord does give us the rest that our physical bodies need, but then we want to not get weary in the things of Him that He would have us be doing. So let's look at Galatians 6:9. It says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And if you look at the King James, that verse ends, "if we faint not." And if you look at the NIV, it says, "if we do not give up." So, let us not grow weary. First, here, there's an action that we must take. It tells us, "let us." And if we're to let, that tells us that we have a part in this. We need to either allow something or not allow something in our lives. And in this case, we're not to allow something to happen in our lives. We are not to allow ourselves to grow weary. And to grow weary means to become utterly spiritless. It means to become exhausted or burned out. So we don't want that to happen in our lives. And what don't we want to become weary of? It says doing good. And as I looked at those two words and broke them apart, there's doing, and then there's good, and then we combine them together. If we look at the word doing, it's talking about producing something in our lives or fashioning something in our lives. Or putting forth. There's an effort that takes place in this verse. It also speaks of acting rightly or carrying something out to execute some type of action in our lives. Perhaps performing a promise. Perhaps the Lord has given you something to do or has a job for you to do, or has maybe said, "You know, I have a word or an encouragement for you to speak to somebody," and He wants you to execute that. He wants you to put that into action, put it into practice, perhaps provide something for somebody. I know there's been a few calls for meals in this church when somebody's been sick or something's been going on, and we've put a call out, "We need meals," and so we're providing something, that doing. Providing, putting into practice, making ready ourselves for what the Lord has. And what are we producing? What are we providing? What are we getting ready for? We're doing good. And this word good is excellent in nature. We're doing something that, and its very character is good. It's excellent. It's genuine. A lot of times we can do stuff, and this is when we get weary. We're not genuine. We're not, "All right, I'm going to do it in a murmuring way. I'm going to do it grudgingly." I can't tell you how many times I've said to my kids, "This is your job for today." They may do the job, but it's always with a huff and a puff or a groan or a moan. Well, guess what? That's not doing it in a good way. Right? I will say sometimes, well, it's not truly obedience if we're not doing it with a genuine heart, if we're not doing it in a non-murmuring way. So this good is, it's genuine, it's praiseworthy, it's noble, because it has the right heart behind it. What is the motive behind what we're doing? If we're doing it because we love the Lord, if we're doing it because it's something God's asked us to do and we want to please Him, guess what? It's not going to weary us. If we're doing it in His strength, we're not going to become weary. It's when we get to doing things in the flesh, getting to do it because we have to, not because we get to, we get weary. That's when we get tired. And why do we want to do it? It goes on to say, "For in due season we shall reap." This word "for" is exactly that, because. There's a benefit if we don't get weary while doing good. In due season, that in due portion means ownership. So it belongs to you. It belongs to me. God is giving you a task. God is giving me a task. God is giving each one of us a task. It's our own task. My task is not your task, and your task is not her task, but it's our own. There's ownership here in this due season, and it's just right for you. Something that God wants to show you or teach you or use you for, and it may be for use in somebody else's life, but it's for you specifically. In due season, and this season is during a measure of time. And this is the part we don't like. This measure of time can be short. This measure of time can be very long. It can be very large. We don't like the very large part of time, because sometimes God is working something in our lives and it takes a really long time, and we don't see the end from the beginning. We see the beginning and we keep doing it and we keep doing it, and we don't see the benefits, or we don't see any good coming out of it, and we get weary and we want to stop doing it because it gets tiring. It's the same old thing. I want to do something different. It's not exciting to me. It's not, you know, what good is this? Well, remember, it's in due season. It's ownership. It's right for us. God is working something out in our lives. And we want God's time, because God's timing is always best, because he does see the beginning from the end, and he knows what the end is going to be. And it is always the right amount of time. This season is a fixed amount of time. So it's a definite amount of time. It is God's perfect amount of time, and we have to remember that. When he is ready for us to see the benefit, if we're ever to see the benefit, we will. But we're not too weary in doing what he's asked. If you're a student, you're not too weary in doing your schoolwork. If you're a housewife, you're not too weary in being a chaste keeper of your home. You know, I get weary of cleaning the toilet. I get weary of changing diapers. I get weary of the dishes that mound up in the sink. I get weary of cleaning up after the dog and the cat and the, you know what? But if I'm doing it with the right motive, and I'm doing it because it's all unto the Lord, then I shouldn't get weary in it, because it's God's plan for me, it's God's time for me, and it's, everything has its season. And those seasons do change, and sometimes we look back and go, I wish I had that season back, because this season is much different, much harder, or whatever. So don't get weary in well doing whatever God has you do. And it may seem, well, this is so small. I want to do something big for the Lord. Well, you know what? He wants to even use those small things for you and for others. And then what's going to happen in due season? We, all those who aren't going to get weary in well-doing, will reap. The word here, it says shall, and that means will. There is going to be a time of reaping. And this is a farming term, and it does mean we will harvest. And it's funny, because reaping is actually a hard thing. If you look at what reaping does, it is cutting things off, it is destroying things, it is taking a crop and it is cutting it down. But there's much benefit in this destructive act, because once the plant is cut down, it provides good. It brings food for nourishment. It brings grain for replanting. It brings it does bring good. And so we look at that reaping. We're like, okay, Lord, we can't wait for the reward. But guess what? There's going to be a cutting act as there is this harvest, and that may not feel very good either. As the Lord is working, cutting something out of our life, it is going to bring benefit to us, but it may not always feel very good as it's working in our lives. But it is always to provide good, to bring us spiritual nourishment, in the long run. And that this reaping will happen if we don't lose heart. If we faint not, as the King James says, or if we don't give up, as the NIV says. We don't lose heart. We're going to be set free. But this lose heart can also mean if we don't get weakened by it, if we don't get exhausted in it, if we don't become feeble in it, if we don't become despondent in it. Lord, I hate being here, and I don't want to do this anymore. And then guess what? If we give up, then the Lord's purpose isn't going to be brought out in that situation. So we don't want to lose heart. We don't want to become despondent or feeble, because we do want Him to have His perfect work in our life. We do want Him to reap what He wants to bring out of our lives and out of each situation that He brings into it, into our lives, no matter what that is. And we want to be women who are busy about God's business. I know I do. I imagine it's the same for you. We don't want to become idle. The Word has a lot to say about being idle, being sluggards. We don't want to do that. We don't want to miss out on the benefits that God has for us. So we do want to press on and keep our eyes on Him and to not grow weary in well doing, to faint not to lose heart, because God always does have a plan and a benefit for us. And like I said, we do want to be busy about God's business. And so now I want to look at, there's two areas of scripture that tell a very similar story, but we're going to look at Luke chapter 19, a few verses in the middle there, about what God wants us to do so that we can be women who are busy about His business. And there's one specific phrase in here that really speaks to me. We're going to begin at verse 10 of Luke chapter 19. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." And as they heard these things, He added and spake a parable, because He was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, 'Occupy till I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called to him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then the first came, saying, 'Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said to him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, hast thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, "Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, "Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, "Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art a hard man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow." And he said to him, "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was a hard man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then gavest not thou my money to the bank, that at my coming I might have acquired mine own with usury," that's with interest. "And he said unto them that stood by, 'Take from him the pound, and give it to him that had 10 pounds. And they said unto him, "Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him." So here we have this story of a nobleman. He was going off into a country to make a purchase, and he left workers, servants, back where he came from with a job to do. And he gave them each a task. And there we go back to do not weary in well doing, or do not weary in doing good. They had a task. They had something that they were supposed to do. They were given, they each received something from this nobleman. And he said to them in verse 13, and I want to key on this. He called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, and he said to them, occupy till I come. Don't weary in well-doing, because in due season you will reap if you faint not. Occupy till I come. Engage in business while I'm gone. Invest this for me while I'm gone. Watch while I'm gone. Be about business while I'm gone. And Jesus, I believe, wants us as women to occupy till he returns. He doesn't want us to just sit around waiting for his return. He wants us to be about his business. He wants us to be doing good while until he returns. He wants us to be making sure, producing excellent things, producing genuine things, things that are praiseworthy and noble for him. These gentlemen, these servants were each given 10 pounds. And then the nobleman comes back and he says, all right, what did you do with the 10 pounds that I have given you? And the first one comes to him and he says, look it, you gave me these 10 pounds and look at what happened. I put them out there and I received 10 more. And guess what? The nobleman is pleased. He says, that's wonderful. Here, I'm going to add now to what I've given you. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. If you look at the story in Matthew, that's where that whole well done, thou good and faithful servant comes out. That's Matthew 25, where the parallel story. And each one of us, God has given each one of us different gifts, different abilities, different talents, and he wants us to use the talents that he's given us, and they're each different. So this first one, he gave 10, and he made 10 more. To the second one, he said, all right, how about you? And he says, look it, I've gained 5 pounds. Even though it's a different amount, the nobleman is pleased. And he gives him 5 more, or he gives him 5 cities to look after. And again, well done, good and faithful servant, you know. But to the last one, who, instead of occupying and using the gifts and the talents, doing something with the 10 pounds, said, here it is back. I've done nothing with it. And the nobleman's not pleased, and he even takes that from him. So he's not even left with that pound that he was given. And so, and he says, well, I was afraid to use it. And so often we can say, oh, but I'm not good at this, or I'm not good at that, or I'm afraid, or it's not, you know, not for me, or I'm too busy, or whatever. It will keep us from using what God has given us or what he's asked us to do. He's never going to ask us to do something and not provide the talent for us to do it. He didn't say to these guys, okay, I'm leaving. Go make 10 pounds. You go make 5 pounds. You go make 1 pound and not give him anything to work with. If he's going to ask you to do something good, he's going to give you the resources to do it. We just have to be willing to put those resources into action. And he finishes out here saying, you know, to you who use what I've given, more is going to be given to you. In verse 26, therefore I say unto you that everyone which hath shall be given. But to you who are not doing good with the resources that I've given you, guess what? I'm going to ask somebody else to do it. You know, because I have a job to be done. And if you're not going to pick it up and do it, guess what? I'm going to ask somebody else to do it, and I'm going to give them the resources to do it. But, I don't want to be the person who the Lord has given me something, and I just sit on it, and then he takes that away. I don't ever want that to happen, you know. So I want to be one that's occupying until he comes. That I want to be engaging in his business. I want to be investing my time in what he has, in his purposes. Always about his business. What am I doing? Is it unto the Lord or is it unto man? Is it so I'll feel good, so I'll look good, so that other people will look at me and say, oh, you know, look at what she can do, look at what, you know, this and that, and puff, puff, puff me up? Or is it, I want it to be unto the Lord, for his purpose, occupying till he comes, so that this benefit of his will be reaped in my life. There's another verse that I really like. It's in Psalm 90, verse 12. It says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And this verse speaks so much to me, as far as my time, and what am I using it for? Am I occupying it with things of the Lord? Am I occupying it with the doing good that he's asked me to do? It doesn't mean that I'm in God's word 24/7, because I can't be. Because there are dishes in my sink that need to be done. There are toilets that need to be scrubbed. There are children that need to be nurtured. You know, there is my husband who I am his helpmeet. There is all this stuff, but guess what? That's the occupying that the Lord wants us to do. Yes, he does want us to be in his word. Yes, he does, because that's where we get our instruction from. That's where he teaches us through his word. Yes, that is very important. But he also wants us to be doing the tasks at hand that he's given us, using the gifts, the talents that he gives each one of us. So teach us to number our days. This is something we have to learn, because we can get very busy, very busy. We're occupying, but not necessarily occupying for him. We fill up our calendar, we fill up our days, but it's just with stuff. And sometimes it's nothing wrong with the stuff, but maybe there's no benefit for the Lord in it. And that's when we get weary, and that's when we get tired. And it might be stuff that he hasn't necessarily asked us to do. And so we really need to pray over all of our activities. And when he does ask us to do activities, Lord, how would you have me to use this for your glory? This is something you've asked me to do. How do I bring it back to you? But teach us. Help me to learn how to number my days. Only God knows how many days we have. But what he's telling us here is, use each day that you have for his glory. I know I like to pray each day, Lord, this is your day. Have your way in this day. I know I have my plans, but his plans are far better than my plans. So, Lord, have your way. You guide and direct. If there are interruptions in my day that you bring into my day, let me willingly yield to those interruptions that you have, because I want you to reap in my life what you want to reap in my life. I don't want to get weary because I'm doing my things and trudging through. So teach us to number these days. Use these days for your purpose, your glory, each day that we have unto the Lord. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Yes, be in the word, be in study, do your devotions. Have a devoted life to the Lord, and everything that we do, may it be unto the Lord. One of my pastors at Finger Lakes, he's no longer there. He moved back to California, Pastor Rick. He was the treasurer of their church, and so he oversaw the budget, you know, everything about financials, and he was very good. He would help you with your taxes. He would help you get a budget if you wanted to learn how to budget and all of this. And he had a saying. I don't know if it was his saying or if he picked it up from somewhere else, but he always used to say, "Give me your checkbook, register, and I will show you where you're spending your money, right? And I will show you how much money you're giving back to the Lord," or whatever, you know, because a lot of people would say about tithing, "I don't have money to tithe, I don't, you know, this and that." And he would say, "Let me see your checkbook and I'll show you where you're spending your money." Well, I was talking to my friend Mona yesterday, and she was saying, "You know, I was thinking about that check register thing, and I really felt like the Lord said, let me see your time card." You know, a lot of people have at work, they have a time card that they have to punch in, and when they get to work, and they punch out when they get out from work, and like this checkbook register, "Show me your checkbook register." She really felt like the Lord said, "Let me see your time card, and I'll let you know where you're spending your time." And so many times, I find myself saying, "Oh, I didn't have time to get in the Word. Oh, I didn't have time to do this thing you asked me to do, Lord. I didn't have time to practice for worship. I didn't have time, you know, to read a story to my little one. I didn't have time to do this. I didn't have time to do that." Let me see your time card, the Lord is saying, and I'll show you where you're spending your time. Guess what? If you have enough time to do this, you have enough time to spend with me. If you have enough time for this activity, you should have enough time to spend in my Word. You should have enough time to spend in devotion. And so I'm just going to leave you today with that thought. If you find yourself saying, "I'm weary and well doing, I'm tired, I'm getting burned out," and believe me, I have been there. I have been there a lot lately. And the Lord has asked me and challenged me over these last few days as I've prepared for this. "Let me see your time card, Karen. And I'll show you why you're tired. I'll show you why you're burned out. Because you're relying on your flesh. You're doing this in your own strength. You got a whole lot of other stuff going on. And it's not necessarily stuff that I've asked you to do. Let me see your time card." So I'll leave you with that. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your concern for our time, Lord, and where we're spending it, how we're spending it, Lord, and that you want it to benefit you, Lord, for your glory. You want everything we do to be unto you, Lord, and you want to reap benefit in our lives, Lord. And so we pray that you would help us as these verses have encouraged us, Lord, to occupy till you come, Lord. But as we do that, Lord, to not grow weary in well doing, because we do want to reap, Lord, and to faint not, for you, for your purposes, for your glory in our lives. We love you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.